Verse 24, if you were here the last couple of weeks, the Lord was very, very busy. And last week he talked about things that might have upset a bunch of people where he was at. He told them their religious customs were worthless. Stand up, sit down, eat a cookie, go home. Whatever it is, washing certain ways, washing your cups, couches, whatever it is, he said, it's worthless. What's most precious to God is the brokenness of your heart. He even went so far as to say, listen, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. You don't find yourself, you know, you're a vegetarian, or you eat fish because they don't got no feelings, or you know, whatever it is that you have set up in your mind as righteousness or holiness. He says, it means nothing. He said, let me tell you what means something. What comes out of your mouth, and God hears everything that comes out of your mouth. Uh-oh. Everything? Everything. Well, can God hear it when I read my mind? I mean, can God read my mind? Yes, he can. That's kind of weird, isn't it? That means one of two things. Either I'm really, really lost, or he's really, really merciful. He leaves them there, kind of scratching their head, and verse 24 says, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Please give me your attention. Let me give you the understanding here. Tyre and Sidon, if you're from New York, is like saying he went up to Monticello. If you're from Florida, it's like saying he went to St. Augustine. Reason being is, this is about 40 miles away. And this is the only recorded point in time where it says that actually he left Israel. He leaves Israel, and he goes about 40 miles east, right near the water. It's kind of like a beach town. It's kind of like a place to get away from everything. His desire was, I just want to chill, man. I just want to get away and not have to deal with anything. That was the thought here. Now you say, well, how do you know that? Well, because look, it says it. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. See, you thought I made it up, and I didn't make it up. So he goes up the coast, he takes a trek, and he probably hiked it, and that means our Lord was in pretty darn good shape. 40-mile hike, who knows how long it took him. And he went up there to a house by the sea, and he just needed a rest. He just needed a vacation. Couldn't be a staycation, had to be a vacation. I gotta get away. Man, I've been working to frazzle. You follow what I'm saying? But he could not be hidden. You see the end of that verse, end of verse 25? I'm sorry, 24? But he could not be hidden. And here's the application here, guys. This is kind of weird. You ever go on vacation and just want a vacation from everything? You just, man, can I? Look, I'm not talking to you 12-steppers here. I'm talking to you guys that just, you came to the Lord, you don't have any, you just want to get, can I just drink a bottle of wine? Can I just get away? I just want to drive up to Georgia, have nobody see me. Can I just? I got to tell you a story. And every time I tell this story, it has these kind of weird implications, but it's not as bad as it sounds. Listen to me. About 6 or 7 years ago, I was going to this bank. And every time I go to the bank, there was this girl behind the teller, the girl behind the thing, and she was like, I guess what some of y'all would call like a hoochie mama. And I'd give her the money, and she'd give me the receipt, and I said, thank you very much. And all of a sudden, after a few months, man, she's like looking at me weird. And she's like, thank you very much. You know, where do you hang out? I'm like, well, I go to the gym. Oh, can I go to the gym too? I was like, whoa. And nobody knows I'm Pastor Ryan here. I guess I still got it. Nah, let me tell you what happened. One time, me and my wife went to these fights in Fort Lauderdale. A couple of my fighters were fighting, and we got there early, and we were gonna go to dinner. So we're up on Sunrise. You know where the War Memorial is? So we go off the wall. Now, this bank is up the block here. She don't work there no more, and I don't bank there anymore, but it don't matter. East. So we're in Fort Lauderdale, and we leave the War Memorial, we drive up US 1, and we see this little tiny restaurant. Hey, let's go there. So I go there. We sit down, we start to eat. Who walks up into the restaurant? Hoochie Mama herself. And I sit there, and you know, it was an honor and a joy to say, oh, hey, how's it going? This is my wife, this is my son. Let me tell you something. You see this thing? Listen to this last line again. But he could not be hidden. You ain't gonna hide from God. You think you can hide from God. You think you can go on vacation from your spiritual thing. You think you can go on vacation from your church thing. You think you can go on vacation from your wedding thing. You think you can go on vacation. But listen to me. Your sin will find you out. And God will set it up. And you can go like me. And you can go, whew. Thank you, God, for that one. Thank you for that little bit of strength. Or you can find out the hard way. Because I heard these stories 1,000 times. I was in Georgia, and then all of a sudden, who walks in? Oh, I know. I know exactly. And if you think that God don't have a sense of humor, he's got a bigger sense of humor than your wife when it comes to things like that. Believe that. The application is obvious. Guys, there is no vacation. The enemy is going to follow you everywhere you go. And the hand of the Lord will be upon you everywhere you go. And you could find out the hard way, you could find out the easy way, you could find out, or you could at just one point in time surrender everything and say, you know what? I'm not just a Christian when I'm at church, when my hands are raised and I got the big smile on my face. I'm gonna be a Christian at the gym. I'm gonna be a Christian at work. I'm gonna be a Christian at home with my wife. I'm gonna be a Christian at home with my kids. At some point in time, you should willingly submerge yourself in this life and go, this is what I do now. I go to church on Sunday, I go to church on Wednesday, and I serve God. This is what I do. Oh, but the guys at the girls at the... Listen, it ain't doing no good for you. Let it go. Let it go. Continuing the story, verse 25. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Please give me your attention. Let me give you a little bit of background here. Remember, I said he's no longer in Israel. He's now in Tyre and Sidon. This woman is a non-believer. This woman is a Greek Syrophoenician. She is not a Jew. And she heard that they're doing good things. She heard that this guy can do something, and her daughter was going nuts. And let me tell you where the application here is amazing. Guys, listen to what I tell you. At what point in time does nothing matter anymore except the health of your family? At what point in time does it not matter that you were brought up Catholic? Does it not matter that you were brought up Jewish? Does it not matter? Where your old ways mean nothing because you cannot be helped anymore. What you have got to come to the conclusion of is what all parents come to the conclusion of at one point in time, what I'm doing is not working. So I can either support my child in his or her demise or figure out a new way to deal with this. Either I can watch my marriage, my family, my finances fall apart to nothing, or I can make some changes and try something. You follow what I'm saying at all? This woman loved her daughter so much. And she heard about this Jewish rabbi. She heard about this guy. She said, I don't care anymore. This girl's got a demon. Now, back then, that might have not been like, you know, such a big deal. Right now, we say, oh, the girl's got a demon. From the outside, we don't think much of it, but I think when you know that somebody in your family, especially one of your kids, has a demon, you know they have a demon. And whether that demon takes the form of drugs, takes the form of alcohol, takes the form of sex, all those are what the Bible calls familiar spirits. Those are all familiar spirits. You think your child fell into something? No. Something fell into your child. And this woman, this non-believer, she came to him and she said, cast the demon. Now, looking up the original language, I'm going to tell you, it's an interesting thing. There's what's called an imperative eternal in the Greek, which means she didn't just say, hey, can you cast the demon out of my daughter? You know what she did? It was an imperative continuation. She kept asking. She wouldn't stop. The implication is there. She didn't shut up. Now, if you look in Matthew 15, it tells the same story. Here's what you find out about this woman. First of all, she's a woman, which meant in her society, especially the Jewish culture back then, she was nothing. She had no problem. You don't come to a rabbi. And back then in those days, it was not, sorry. Women had nothing. The apostles told her, listen, leave him alone. Should we chase this woman away? This woman had absolutely nothing going for her. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Greek. She was obviously taking matters into her own hands. And she said, please. The devil was against her. The apostles were against her. This woman, she's got problems. What an application. We look for Christians that we can pray for. We look for people who we think we can help. And if they're non-believers, if they say something or do something we might think is unseemly toward, I want to ask you guys honestly a question. And I'm asking myself the same question. When's the last time you see somebody who is a non-believer, somebody that got hurt, somebody that was hurt, and you said, hey, can I pray for you? Well, I'm Jewish. How's that working for you? Well, you know, bad things happen to everybody. Yep, they do. Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. But you don't know when God's going to rescue you. I bet those 10 lepers didn't know that God was going to come by and rescue. I know what point in time, Chuck Smith always says, you never know when you're one prayer away from a miracle. Don't stop praying. I've been praying the same Bible verses over my kids. I can't tell you how many years. And this crazy thing has happened the last week. I'm kind of like sick of them. I really am. Like if I told you the verses that I'm praying over. So I get up in the morning, I start my prayer time. And then when I get to the part where it says deliver us from evil, I start saying, okay, God, I lift up Cammie and I pray that she wouldn't be fearful. I pray you've not given her a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. I pray beware lest anyone teach you philosophy and say, I pray perfect love because I was like, man, God, I'm saying the same verses every single time. I'm kind of like bored. Can I have some new verses to pray over my kids? And then I thought to myself, now what voice do you think would be in my heart and in my head that would make me not want to pray a Bible verse over my kid? I think that I'm closer than I imagine with answers to these prayers. And I ain't never going to stop now. As soon as that was revealed, because it's been going on for like a week and a half, I was like, I'm sick of these same Bible. And you don't say it. It's just you feel it in your spirit. It's like, I feel like I'm just kind of repeating myself. You know, I'm saying to you guys, I'm sick of it, but I'm not really sick of it. I'm just kind of like just saying it. Now I feel like, God, I'm not accomplishing anything. But then I thought to myself, wait a second. What is it that would have me not want, like is it like a bad thing to pray a Bible verse over your kid? Yeah, I'll just stop. That felt a lot better. When I stopped praying for my kids, that felt a lot better. You understand here what's going on? So like I dug in and I said, no, from now on, I'm going to pray these same verses until something else, another verse that God brings to my heart, and I'm not going to complain about it or anything like that. And the point is, you don't know what point this woman was at. You don't know how You don't know when she didn't know that when she woke up that morning what was going to happen. Continuing the story, I kind of beat that down, didn't I? I could see it in your eyes. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." He said, what? Here's this non-believer, right? And in modern church, United States, 2016 church, make it warm and welcoming for everybody. Let everybody feel nice and comfortable. Let's not hang up any trips on people. And then we read the Lord said, this non-believer came to him and said, "Hey, would you please cast a demon out? Hey, would you please cast a demon out?" And he said, "I'm sorry. We don't throw the children's bread to the dogs."
Oh, how dare you! I heard you use the name Jesus. I am a Jewish believer, and we call him Yeshua. I heard you... You didn't say a Hail Mary. Well, I grew up Catholic, if that's the way it's going to be. You talked about the blood. That's disgusting. We don't talk about blood. We don't have crosses. We have doves. What's the matter with you? That's not even a cross. It's a railroad tie.
And we broke the window putting it up too, by the way. It's a lot of fun. And then there's our Savior. "I'm sorry. Children get filled first. We don't throw bread to the little dogs." Now, just so you understand, and I don't know if this adds a little layer for you, that word for little dogs there in the Greek, in the original language, which is has a different amplification for it, that word for dogs isn't the dogs outside. It's not the wild dogs. It's not the immoral dogs. Because you can use dogs in so many different ways, even in our language, right? There they had different words for it. Here we have the same. Like if I looked at one of my friends, I go, "You're a dog." They'd be like, "Hey, that's not very nice." And you say, "Hey, I love my dog." "What's up, dog?" You know, you could do it so many different ways. But in the Greek language, they use different words for it. And this word here is more fitting puppy. More fitting is puppy. So she wasn't saying you're a dog. He wasn't saying to her, "You're a dog." He was saying to her, "I'm sorry, the children are filled first. We don't feed the puppies the children's food." But you know what she hung on? Let me tell you what the right attitude is here to prayer. What the right attitude is to spiritual substance things. Here, you ready for it? She didn't hear dogs. She didn't hear puppies. She didn't hear no. You know what she heard? Children first, dog second. I'll wait. I don't mind. And I think it really comes down to a matter of how desperate are you? How desperate was this woman to see her kid changed, her kid rescued? How desperate are you to see your marriage changed? I say to you, if your marriage is hurting, don't worry. We'll sit down, we'll talk about it, we'll see what the Bible says about it. I sit down, we talk, and the first thing you guys do is unload on each other. Two barrels, boom, 12 gauge. And I go, "Wow, you guys, take it easy. Take it easy. A little grace, a little mercy on each other." "Well, you don't understand what it's like to live." Yes, yes, you're right. I'm sorry. After 30 years with the same woman, I married Mary. She's perfect. Nope. I married Joy. And although she is my joy, she's still human. She has issues. Lots and lots of issues. She's all messed up. Don't work. And here's what happens. I say, "Here, guys, go easy on each other. You're really hard on each other." "But you don't understand." "Yeah, no, I do understand. Here's what I understand. No matter what I say, you say, 'Yeah, but.'" Because everything is the dark thing. So what are you going to do? Just throw away another relationship? "Okay, well, it's done now. All right. Next." It's like that story. Pastor Bob used to tell this story. He was doing a wedding one time, and in the wedding, One of the vows that he used was, and I will submit unto my husband as unto the Lord. And this woman came up to him and said to him, excuse me, I noticed that you told her to submit. I've been married 4 times and I don't submit to men. Four times. And you seem so happy. You see what she hung on to? Look at that again. Let the little children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. We read that and all we hear is negative. All we hear is, wow, that was rough, man. I remember reading that. I mean, I heard that, what I'm telling you right now, I heard it, Chuck Missler said it yesterday. And I'm looking at the same thing, I'm like, man, he was tough on her. She didn't care how tough. You know what she cared about? Changing her life, rescuing her daughter. First, that means if there's first, there must be a second. You understand what she heard? I came and that pastor told me I need to read the Bible to my wife. Sit down, I'm going to read the Bible to you. I don't want you to read me the Bible. Well, you're going to read the Bible anyway. Attaboy, go get her. You understand? I have followed my wife around the house, Bible in hand, trying to. I don't want you to read me the Bible. If you're going to behave like you did yesterday. No, I got to read you the Bible, woman! And you're going to pray with me too! Freaking A right I am. That's right. Because let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not falling apart. Ain't happening. I'm going to break the curse in my life, in my parents' life, in my friends' lives. Breaking it. And that's what the Bible says to do. You pray with each other. You read the Bible to each other. Imperative. Forever. Never ends. That's what we do. Why get married otherwise? I ask you that question. Why get married? If you come to the church and you say, I want to be married, Bible speaking, this is what marriage is. You pray together, you read the Bible together, you go to church together, you worship together. I can give you 10 verses for every one of them. That's what the Bible says marriage is. Why would you get married in the church and then not do it? People ask me, you know, about the gay marriage thing. I don't care how many gay people get married. It makes no difference. This courthouse up the block, go get married. I can't marry you because that's not what marriage is, according to what I believe. But the world wants to get married. Marry your car. What do I care? That makes no difference to me. Why would I care what the world does? It's not my job to judge the world. It's my job to love the world. We got this whole thing backwards. The church is upside down and we don't want to say anything negative about our brothers and sisters. The world is upside down and we want to just love. It's not our job, the Bible says, judging the church. Let God judge the world. We just love them. Let God judge them. The church, set them straight. Somebody's messing up, set them right straight. That's what the Bible says. Anyway, she held on to that first thing. Verse 28, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. Now, I want you to know something, that she didn't know when God was going to answer the prayer of getting rid of that demon. She didn't know when she woke up that morning, she was only one prayer away. And I want to know how many of us quit before when we're one prayer away. But I tell you what I see here, and this is so amazing. There's about 5 or 6 times in Scripture where God is astonished at people's faith. And do you know that almost, with the exception of one, it's always non-Jews? And he was astonished. The word for astonished, literally in our word, in our language, mean mind blown. He blew the mind of Christ with the faith that he had. Wow. She looked at him and she didn't hear dogs. She didn't hear no. She heard, I'll take second. Yes, I'll just take a crumb. Man, What a heart. When we come in here and we want people to recognize us and we want, oh, I can't believe he didn't. Ah! She took the lowest spot possible and she says, I'm willing to take crumbs. No problem. And he looked at her and he said, you know what? For that, watch what happens when you get home. It's done. How are you not blown away by this? There's only two ways. Either you don't believe it, and I'm just telling you like some tale that was written, or I'm telling you this thing and you're blown away. This is amazing to me. Go your way. It's done, as you said. Now, she did have a response there. What was she going to do? When we pray for the non-believer at work, when we pray for the non-believer wherever they are, we don't know the end of the story. We don't know if the demon came back and filled it. We don't know if she got saved. You know, we don't know anything about the situation. All we know is what the response was. We add our American and they lived happily ever after to every story, thinking that that's it. But it's not the end of the story. There's more to it. You follow what I'm saying there? You have a response after that. Continuing. Verse 30. And when he had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and the daughter lying on the bed. Hallelujah, what an amazing thing. And I want that to be hope for somebody here. You have a daughter, you have a son, you have a mother, you have a father, you have a brother, you have a sister that is twisted up in some kind of demonic music, that is twisted up in some kind of demonic drug activity, that is twisted up in some kind of demonic sexual deviance, and you just don't know what to do. Arguing with them is not going to help. You cannot hate them. You can't hate gay out of people. You can't smash enough CDs or erase enough iPod. You can't. You got to pray it out. You got to pray it. Love and prayer. Man. It's a bomb. It's an atom bomb. Again, verse 31, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hands on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Please give me your attention. He leaves there. He goes to another place. He goes up by the water. Right by the Sea of Galilee, and they brought to him somebody who is deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And I'm going to throw something at you guys that might be a little weird sounding at first, but follow the train of thought. It is said by sociologists that it's worse to be deaf than it is to be blind. For us who put ourselves in that position, we say, no, I'd rather be deaf than blind. Until you talk to why, again, the sociologists say that. When you are blind, you can still be a part of something. When you look at somebody that's blind, you can tell they're blind, and the first thing you do is have pity on them. Oh, this poor guy's blind, can I help? But when somebody is deaf, the communication ability is gone. There's sign language, there's writing, but do you know how many people can communicate with somebody who's deaf? How many people communicate with somebody who's blind, though? Everybody. And there's a freeing when you're blind. Man, your prejudice goes out the door. Can you help me across the street? Excuse me, before you do, are you white? It just don't happen like that. Don't happen. Excuse me. Do you go to a Calvary Chapel or do you go to a First Baptist? Well, I go to First Baptist. Well, I don't want you to help me across. It just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Think about that for a second. Let that marinate in your brain for a second. Being deaf is more isolation. Living in a world of quiet, living in a world without sound, and all you can do is either have a memory of or no idea. I'm telling you, it's one of the coolest things. You can do this. You look up YouTube, people who have received their hearing. It is the coolest thing in the world. when people who have never heard for the first time start to hear. Does anybody have seen those things? Aren't those so cool? And they hear sound for the first time, and they just flip out, they're crying. So anyway, this dude, he can't hear and he can't speak right. And obviously people who can't hear right can't speak right, because they can only formulate the words based upon vision, if they've ever had an understanding. If you've never seen it, there's an amazing movie. It was a TV movie that came out about Helen Keller. Girl got sick and she was blind and deaf. Has anybody ever seen that? The little girl that was in the Coca-Cola commercial starred in it. She did an amazing job. I mean, I want you to think about this for a second. Imagine trying to see somebody who's deaf and blind to communicate. You want to talk about frustrating? You want to talk about being a parent? I mean, which one of us here wouldn't seriously consider suicide if, God forbid, you got into some kind of accident and you woke up and you were deaf and blind? I mean, what kind of quality of life do you think that would be for somebody who had those things is gone? It's horrible. It's just the worst thing you can imagine. And you have to reach up and now you see, put your hands up. So you touch and now all of a sudden the person's touching their hand and they're telling you how to make a sound. And wait a second, this means water. What, you have any idea how slow? Oh my goodness. Why am I illustrating this so much? Because he's about to heal her. Him. He's about to heal him. Somebody who is completely isolated, somebody who's completely alone, somebody who's completely lost, somebody who's in a world that is closing down in on itself daily. This is amazing to me. These are not, guys, these are not tales from the crypt. These are true stories recorded from all eternity, where God let these people go to the edge of everything. We keep forgetting this. We're reading these stories and, well, God, he didn't heal me, you know, I broke my arm and I asked God, or I had cancer, I had Parkinson's, and we wonder, well, when is God going to heal? I don't know when God's going to heal. But look what he did in the Bible. It's not like people are, I'm going for a mammogram, pray for me that everything works out. Well, praise God, we absolutely will. And we come back, oh, God is good, he, you know, clean. Praise God for that. But these people went to the end of the edge of death. They looked at death and had to somehow experience some faith. Faith versus feelings, and say, no, I'm coming back from here. You guys might have been with us, and I'm telling you about what happened to me a few weeks ago. My brain broke. And I called my wife and I said, if I don't come back and, you know, like sane, you know, like the keys are here, the money's there, I'm sorry, I love you. And you know that over the last couple weeks, God has kind of like healed my brain. And I'm just like, I ain't gonna be the same. I am grateful and happy. Woo! And I said, God, why did you let me get that far deep into this hole? And he says, this is the only place you'll listen, you bonehead. And now, maybe you'll have a little more compassion on people who are suffering with the same. Well, you could have just told me about it. I've been telling you about it for a long time, son. You know what? I really don't care if Hillary Clinton becomes the next president of the United States. You know why? Because God healed my brain. And I could look at my children again, and I could love my beautiful wife. That's not to say I'm voting for, of course. But the other choice, never mind, I don't go there. Ah, what a mess our country is. Ah. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment of speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him, and he took him aside from the multitude, put his finger in his ears, spat, and touched his tongue. Yummy. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. He takes his fingers and he puts it in his ears, and this is what I see, right? He goes, And this is honestly, I gotta say, sanctified. This is what I'm seeing his face go. Why? Why did he do that? Let me tell you why. Because he's so smart, he knew we would idolize whatever method we used, right? Can you see I'm at a restaurant and the guy tell me, oh, my daughter, she got, well, let me take care of that for you, come here. You know what I mean? What did you just do? I put my fingers in your ear and spit. Why? That's what he did. Well, didn't he one time go outside of the town and make mud? Yeah. Didn't he one time tell a guy go in the water? Yeah. Why did he do that? Because don't ever idolize the method. If you see, you can see that when you watch any of them Benny Hinn super healer guys that are completely out of their minds. And they make balls of Holy Spirit fire and they throw it at people and people go, yeah, that's godly for sure. I seen that happen. I read that in the Bible one time, that the Apostle Paul, he made a ball of Holy Spirit fire and he threw it at a guy and the guy went writhing on the floor and he woke up and he was healed. It was miraculous. You didn't read that either? But I don't know why God did the things he did. I think he just didn't want us to try and come up with some kind of copycat thing. So he's like, oh, this one I'll put my fingers in here and spit. That one I'll make a mud pie. That one, they'll read this. Can you see him knowing all eternity forever and going, this is going to be great. Because you know he's got, you think about this, guys. God created the laugh. He created the stimulus that goes into your brain that causes you to giggle. He's the same God who at the Tower of Babel, he must have said to the angels, watch this. You guys that don't know the story, people got together and they were going to build a tower all the way up to heaven. So they were going to show God how big they are. And all the world had one language. It was a one world government. Boy, that sounds familiar. However, at one point God goes like this, watch. Bing. I don't know what he did. I don't know, but all of a sudden they were all speaking different language. Like at one point, hey, hand up another shovel of dirt here. What did he just say? Por favor, mucho trabajo aquí. I don't know what that means. Gabinete del Domine. What is he saying? And he said, all the people that understood. Do you understand what? Okay, I understand. He said, all the people that spoke one language, they went one direction. And all the people that spoke another, they went another direction. And that's how the earth was divided. And we look at it and we go, that's the stupidest thing in the world. I'll tell you how language was developed. People were in a cave one time, and they were writing things on walls. And one day something fell off and hit him in the head, and he went, ow. That became the universal symbol for pain. Really? Really? That's how, huh? And they call creationists stupid. Billions of years. That's why some languages sound familiar to each other. Get out of here. Say something intelligent, please. Looking up to heaven, he sighed. Man, I want to know why he sighed so bad. I want to know what caused the master craftsman, the creator of all mankind, whom everything was created through, what caused him to sigh? You guys know what a sigh is? You know what I think it was? Again, sanctified imagination. I think in the fallen state of our world, you only recognize how bad it is once in a while. We're like, if you took a frog and you put him in a, let's say you take a frog, you find a toad or a frog outside in your house and you put him in a pot of water and you bring him in and you put him on the stove and you turn the heat on, he would sit in there and be swimming, he'd be totally cool and the water would get so hot that eventually the animal would just dissolve. But he's not jumping out. It's not like one point in time he's going, whoa, this is getting hot, I'm out of here. No, the heat's been turned up. And the heat's so slowly getting hotter and hotter that he just, and that's what we got in our world right here. It's getting so bad, we don't care anymore. Listen, I'm a foul, filthy human being, but I gotta be honest with you. I'm on a plane or I'm in a restaurant eating, and I hear the conversations that some people have, and I'm freaking blown away. I'm like, wow. I mean, my mom, my dad, we were Italian New Yorkers, you know what I mean? People like say anything now. There is no more, and it's totally normal. He sighed. What has happened to this world? What the enemy is doing in this world, what this fallen world is doing. I mean, how did we go from walking in the Garden of Eden, communicating with God, communing with the animals, naming them, to where we're at? You go fishing down at the pier. There's people that'll slash your tires because you're hurting fish. They'll key your car up. PETA will, man, they. But let me tell you something. If you have a child growing in your womb, and at 8 months and 28 days, you want to deliver the child, stick a spoon in the back of his head and scoop out his brains, you have the right to do that. What happened? I know exactly what he's sighing about. I do it all the time. I stopped watching the news about a month ago. I couldn't do it no more. I can't. I'm confessing. I'm too weak. I can't do it anymore. It stresses me out so bad. The stuff that is going on. He looked at this deaf, speech impediment guy, and I think when he put his, it's almost like you ever see the Vulcan mind read thing or something like that. Not Spock, the other guy now in the modern ways. The X-Men. Frodo. I did need a Lord of the Rings reference. I went a whole service without a Lord of the Rings reference. That's true. Xavier. You know, he puts his hand and he reads people's minds. I think it's kind of thing like that. He put his fingers in the ears and he sensed, he saw this guy's pain. He experienced what these people have done to this poor guy. Because, again, going back, because he's deaf, he's isolated, no communication. I mean, what would it take for somebody to walk over to him and man, it's just too much work. I was in Brazil last year. I speak a little Spanish. I speak no Portuguese. And you know what I did? I stayed in my room. I'll tell you why I stayed in my room. I took 3 days worth of clothes and I was there for about a week. And I wanted to wash my clothes and I didn't see a laundromat anywhere. And all my friends said, you don't want to be walking around Rio being a white guy. I was like, all right, you know, cool. And I called the front desk and the guy spoke English and I asked him if he would wash my, if there's a service in there, wash it. He said, no problem. I said, listen, I don't want them dry cleaning. No problem, Mr. I came back that day and all my clothes, underwear, socks, and everything were dry cleaned, cost me like $120. I was like, I think I'll just stay in the room from now on. Going to a restaurant, like, food, anybody here speak English? First time in my life I've experienced anything like that. Now, I don't know if you guys, I'm not a big traveler. I mean, I go up to Georgia and they have a real Southern accent and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Y'all gonna go down there, where restaurant, make a left at McDonald's, eh? I just wanted a water. So he put his fingers in this guy's ears. So nobody made an effort. I think he just, he the pain that this poor guy has gone through, the misery. And he allowed it to happen. God, you could have stopped this at any time. Why didn't you stop it? I don't know the answer to that question, guys. Okay, we're going a long time. I'm finished now. Looking up to heaven, he sighed, said to him, Ephphatha, that is to say, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And he was astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Why did he tell people not to tell everybody what was going on? I have no idea. But I have this. This is great. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, he tells us to go and tell everybody, and we tell nobody. Here he tells them to tell nobody, and they tell everybody. Now, what is it that God would have to do in the life of a Christian to make them want to go tell everybody? Make them blind? Make them deaf? Make them suffer? I mean, what is it? What is it that he'd have to do in your life? And then I'm going to tell you, and I mean this, this might not be popular to anybody. He's going to do it. He promises you, I'm going to get you to heaven safely, I promise. But I need you to go proclaim the gospel to those that are hurting. And if I have to hurt you like they're hurt, just so you can relate to them, I'll do it.
I don't want that. No, I want the God that gives me a lot of money, good health. I want to die. Yeah, I want to die of old age, but in great health.
Sorry. I want you to, if you're under 40 here, I want you to think about what it's like. You look around at somebody who's in their 60s and 70s. I want you to think about your body not doing what you want it to when it no longer behaves the way you tell it to. And we hear, we all make jokes, yeah, just getting old. Yeah, it's getting old. It's getting old, is it? Until your mind starts to crack and your body starts to do things. You know what this is? That's what people with Parkinson suffer with. Could you imagine? Can you imagine waking up in the morning and can't stop your hand from shaking? Can you imagine being in a woman's mind whose fear for their kid is so terrible, whose worry about their husband is so that they are trapped in a constant swirling of emotional constant, and they cannot bring themselves back? And then God all of a sudden just goes, boop, you're healed. You going to tell everybody about it?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
You close your Bible. I'm kind of done. But I'm not trying to rebuke. I'm not trying to come down anybody. I'm just saying, listen, we're here for a reason. And that's to tell everybody about the Lord. And ain't no vacations from it. We can't go up to Tyre and Sidon because he's going to bring people to you there. No matter where you go, no matter what steps you take, there will be a woman with a demon-possessed daughter. There will be work to do. And count on it. If you want to be a Christian, count on it. You're going to suffer the same way they suffered. Yay! Should I do an altar call now? Hooray! Who wants to accept Jesus as their Savior today? See you tonight, 6 o'clock. I'm sure 6 o'clock will roll around. Shark Tank's on tonight, isn't it? Isn't that 6? Man, I got no room left on my TiVo. Tell me about it on next week, okay? I'll be here on Wednesday. Well, Wednesday I go to the gym. Sunday. Okay, Sunday. Oh, wait, no, next Sunday I'm going up to, yeah. Well, I'll see you when I see you. Look, you don't have to be a Christian to go to church, okay? Everybody knows that. I am coming down on you now, aren't I? Hey, let's do this thing together. This is crazy stuff in here. Well, why do you think your heart hurts the way it does? I didn't just tell you some stories. I just read you the Word of God. That's all I did. That's all I did was read you the word of God. Why do you hurt the way you hurt now? Why are you feeling the way you feel now? What is going on inside your spirit? That's the power of God. What you should do is say, God, do whatever you want to do. Because, last thing, if you fall on the rock, yeah, you'll be broken. But if the rock falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. That's not my word. That's the word of God. I'll just fall on the rock and be broken. I'm cool with that. Anybody else with me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Amazing and powerful. We thank you for your life, God, the testimony that you lived, God. And God, I'm so blown away at how merciful you've been to us. And I pray for everybody that's here, whatever you've done in their hearts today, God, may they just surrender it. God, for those that are here that are demon-possessed family members, deliver. God, for those that are here that are in need of a healing, deliver. And God, for those that are here that do not know you, God, may they know you. Bless us, God. And we're going to come back tonight. We're going to thank you, God. And we're going to praise you. We're going to worship you in spirit and in truth. For you are good and you do good. We say, like Job, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Unto death and unto life, we will praise you, God. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Thank you, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.